This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Housing NOLA's annual report card on the state of affordable housing is out again. And for the seventh year in a row, New Orleans has earned a failing grade. And here to talk to us about it is Andronika Morris from Housing NOLA. Andronika, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Newell. Thanks for having me.
So you and I have talked about this a lot. This is a 10-year plan. We seem to have missed the mark every year. Tell us about it.
So when we started the Housing NOLA process almost 10 years ago now, it was with the idea in mind that we would get the policymakers and those responsible to make commitments to what they would invest in, how they would manage those resources, what policies they would implement. And yes, for the last several years, the mark has been missed, unfortunately. And things have actually gotten worse because of that, those missed investment opportunities, those chances to take some forward action from a policy perspective. Things have actually gotten worse in the last few years. And that has led us to the point where now we have, like the rest of Louisiana, we're dealing with this insurance crisis. And there's a real need to be more proactive for the city to lead in a way that they haven't. And in recent months there has been some indication that there is now a willingness to do that. But we need the community is going to have to lean in as well and demand more of their leaders.
So Andronika, that's the what? That's the outcome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why this outcome? I mean, we keep hearing, you know, the city this, the city that, but when we dig deep into the details of this, everybody understands the challenge. Everybody understands the importance. Why do we find ourselves in this predicament?
Well, but despite the fact that everyone agrees that this is important, that isn't showing up when it comes down to it, when it's the chance to commit to a set of actions that will absolutely guarantee that folks who need housing get to keep it, get to have access to it, get the chance to work for it, right? All of the things that we say that we want, that we pivot. And not all of us, right? But the people with power pivot. That's why, and they get aided and abetted sometimes by policymakers, by community leaders, by thought makers and opinion makers. And it's unfortunate that when push comes to shove, we're saying, well, let's just let the market decide. And even the market is saying now, no, we need some help. We need some support, and there needs to be some real political will behind this. So that's one of the reasons
For me, though, has it really been about a function of money? I mean, we give money to culture bearer groups and this and that every year, millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And it always seems to me to be one, execution, and two, priority. And looking at the budget and what we can afford in a holistic way, and understanding that we cannot be all things to all people. You know, chameleons are never really effective, you know, and
right.
We have to pick and choose. And those are politically hard decisions. You've talked about this a lot. But we don't want to make these politically hard decisions, you know. And
That's right.
You know, and I know that Councilwoman Leslie Harris has proposed a 2% of the budget to be set aside in a housing trust fund. That sounds great at first blush. But it still requires execution and making politically hard decisions. Because, you know, when we talk about it generating roughly $20 million, sounds great, love it. That doesn't go very far. Not when we are 55,000 units short in this city.
That's right. That's right. And that's exactly That's why this is.
You begin to do the math. I mean, if we were to go out and build 200 units at $100,000 a piece, which is cheap. You don't get much for that number. That's $20 million. I mean, that's a drop in the bucket next to the 55,000.
But but it's exactly what you're talking about. Is this is what we do sometimes because we don't take the steps because it seems like, well, this is not enough, so we're not going to do anything. And that is part of the problem because $17 to $20 million every year does add up eventually, especially if there are processes in place to ensure that the money gets out the door instead of hand wringing, instead of trying to figure out who should get it and what political favored projects should get it. Instead, it's based on need, and that those conversations have to be had transparently. And that's one of the things that's really great about the Housing Trust Fund, beyond the fact that it's not a new tax, it's using existing revenues to add to the investments that we are already making with our federal funds. We're also talking about a process where those hard decisions are made with communities' input and in full view of community, instead of hiding behind, well, we're not sure. We don't know what the mayor's doing. We're not sure what this agency is doing. What has been proposed here, what's on the ballot, is a process that accounts for all of the money instead of doing what we've been doing for the last few years.
Well, let me play devil's advocate. Let me play devil's advocate for a moment. So one of the priorities is... Yes, we must, because one of the priorities here is creating affordable rental housing, including filling financial gaps and incentivizing landlords. I love it. I understand how that works. But in this city, we have landlords in New Orleans East that have been really abusing tenants for decades. And as a city and as a code enforcement agency in this city, we have been able to do little or nothing about it.
Well, but that's changed. That's in the last few months. That's why it's been a really interesting time. The last few months, we've seen a decided turn in the last few months. While we have been failing for the last several years, in the last few months, there have been things taken, there have been measures that have been implemented that can turn this around. So when you talk about those predatory landlords, one of the worst landlords in the city's history just got out of jail. Josh Bruno was jailed, not for his bad landlording, but for a property rights issue actually with his neighbors. That's really reflective of how he managed the properties that he had. And that's another thing. But what we've done recently is two things have happened. The Healthy Homes Initiative has moved forward with addressing those large-scale developers, not just in New Orleans East. Josh Bruno's properties, for example, were in Mid-City, Uptown, and he was one of the parts of Central City. He was one of the worst landlords this city has ever seen. He's lost a lot of his properties, and they now have policies in place. The city, not just using code enforcement, but the Healthy Homes Ordinance can now step in and shut those properties down and make sure that those folks are not just being abused. Also,
yeah, but where does it go from there, Andranika? Because and I have talked about adjudicated properties for a long time.
Yep.
I mean, you know, going back to the Landrieu administration, he had this grandiose plan of dividing up the city into geographic regions and going in, getting the properties adjudicated to the city, putting them back into the stream of commerce in order to address this affordable housing crisis that we find ourselves in. And we still have over 20,000 blighted pieces of property that we've done little or nothing in adjudicated property. And
well, we also have, you know, thousands of empty apartments and homes that are occupiable that can be rented, but those
you're making my case.
No, but those folks can't price them correctly because of the insurance crisis. We see landlords raising their rent. So that's why we're talking about doing, because you said the point earlier, it's going to take about $100,000 to $200,000 to create a new unit. Our estimates say to do the kind of rehab necessary, it's about $77,000, $75,000. But you can do some initial pieces for about $10,000 to $15,000 with the fortified roof program that actually lets you lower utility costs and lets the landlord lower rent by lowering their operating costs. We've got developers who can't move forward right now, who have funding gaps caused by long-term insurance gaps that are going to make it impossible for them to operate the property beyond a few years. So we've got to address the insurance crisis. And thankfully, that's not as big a ticket item as new construction. So we can start small. And that's where the city can invest. The city can say, let's take the low-hanging fruit. Let's take the homes and apartments that are occupiable, but the rents are out of reach because of insurance. Let's make these investments, long-term investments, not just helping the tenant pay their rent, helping the tenant and the landlord really be in relationship with each other and long-term, right? Long-term.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is one of the things that the trust fund will do. And while we're big believers in the rental assistance program,
let's back up a second. And I'm not trying to poo-poo on this, please, because but the reality is the trust fund is a sum of money. You know, the execution is something entirely different. I mean, you have, you know, and you have a Hano that's kind of down and out in Beverly Hills, right? And
yes.
And we're not spending a lot of our own taxpayer dollars here locally. There, it's predominantly federal dollars. And, you know, as important as affordable housing is, can't get that right. As with another a number of housing authorities, I sit on one. It's a challenge.
That's right.
They have these bastardized governance models, and you know, and HUD it tends to be all over the map, and you know, it moves at a snail's pace, and we can't get anywhere.
That's another.
And the only reason
why
I bring this
so
up is that you know the trust fund is a sum of money. I mean, how we manage that. And the governance that's going to go over that, and you know, who decides what project is worthy or not? How much are we going to put in this bucket versus that bucket? You know, I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road, but it's also where we have historically blown it every time.
Exactly. That's why this is also really transformative and a really great opportunity, because this governance model doesn't look like anything we've ever tried before.
Well, who's going to be responsible? Who's going to be responsible for this, for these dollars?
So the housing authority, first of all, is not going to be anywhere near this. So they're not involved. We can talk about the housing authority and the need to address their issues. The finance authority and the redevelopment authority will be directed by the city council on how to deploy these dollars every year in a public process that's going to take place during the budget season. So this time next year, the city council will be hearing from the advisory committee and the program administrators their suggestions in public about what they think the money could go towards. And then the city council members will approve it as a part of the budgeting process in full view of all community. That will also give people the chance to make their own voices heard and to understand what the priorities are. They can ignore their advisory committee and decide there's something more pressing that they think is more important, or they can go along with the advisory committee, or they can do something else because a group of citizens gets together and says, we think the money should be spent this way. This is what's different about this, and they're going to have to explain themselves every year.
In 5 years after spending $100 million, if this generates $20 million a year, and after 5 years spending $100 million, where do you feel that we're going to be on this report card relative to that 55,000 units that are needed?
So inside of that piece, we actually think we can get at least 5,000 units, particularly if we do the Fortify program. So that's number one. And given the fact that this $17 million is only about it, this money could only create a small percentage of what we think is necessary to address the 55,000, that's pretty good. 5,000 out of 55,000 is not bad, considering the fact that that $17 million, that $100 million is a drop in the bucket, as you said earlier. New Orleans,
but are we certain? And again, because I'm just, I look at the math, I look at the data. That number has grown from 33,600 in 2015, right, in 2024 to 55,000. What do we think this number is going to grow over the next 5 years?
If we don't do anything, it's going to continue to grow. Yes. If we don't do anything, but this is where.
Well, let's just say net of the 5,000 units that you say, I mean, at this rate, this number could be 65,000, and we've only taken five off. So we still haven't been. We're not net gaining anything.
There's also other policy interventions that can take place. One of the things that can also happen when you make these kinds of investments is the insurance crisis is something that's cumulative. You can impact people as individuals, but you also start tipping the market, right? You start making these resources available at scale, and that allows other people to benefit from them and bring their costs down. There's going to be other money coming into New Orleans if we don't mess it up, to do things like add more energy efficiency. Those will also bring the numbers down. There's other programs that will complement this.
The backdrop and a difficulty for me as a former CFO, when I look at this as a dedicated fund and taking 2%, let's just say 17 or 20 million. Let's just take it round about 20 million. In a city that is woefully underfunded in dealing with infrastructure, which should be the top priority to get straight, because that will do more to the quality of living here in the city than anything else. Most people have been trying to undedicate money. To go back down this path of dedicating money like this is a little exotic at this point in time. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because everybody's looked for more latitude. I mean, this council themselves have desired more latitude in the dollars that and appropriating the dollars to the legislative priorities that they have. So it's kind of a unique approach.
Yeah. But when you think about the dollars that are restricted, a lot of the dollars are restricted for things like the consent decree. And I think everybody would argue that the progress that the NOPD has made has been phenomenal. It's also saved us money. I was just talking about this with the folks at GNO Inc. the other day. The fact is that we have not experienced what other cities have experienced when it comes to the loss of life of our citizens, because our police officers are not only getting better at doing their jobs of protecting and serving, but also making sure that things that happen, like we've had some really outrageous incidences in our past that we've been able to get beyond. That's why we ended up in the consent decree. It wasn't prophylactic. We had some really bad things happening, as high profile as what happened on the Danziger Bridge, and things to work through to get out to stop that from happening again. That also, not only does it cost us loss of life, it also costs you money. And New Orleans has not had to pay those settlements. And so when the consent decree eventually ends, that will also free up additional money for those kind of other places where there's latitude. So there's going to be other dollars that are going to be less restricted that we're not going to divert away from. We're not going to divert away from.
Yeah, but
we
can make that argument all we want. We have underfunded pension funds. We have all kinds of challenges, legacy costs that we haven't come to grips with, judgments that we haven't come to grips with, infrastructure that we've not come to grips with. And, you know, so that, I mean, that from a financial perspective, anybody that looks at this, you know, that has ever sat in that chair before will say, fundamentally, they're going to have an issue with it, because it really ties their hands. And, you know, mandates and dedications are a little different.
Money.
Yeah, that's I get
right,
it.
This
I got
the only
it.
Dedication that, wait, but it also generates revenue, Newell. It generates revenue. Bringing homes and apartments that are currently underutilized, that are not generating revenue.
I don't disagree.
I stand on this issue.
I don't disagree. I get it.
Yeah.
When I do the math, though, we need a shock and awe, you know, approach. And I'm not so sure this is the shock and awe. Maybe a piece of it, but there needs to be a whole lot more that goes with it. Got to get to a break. Andre Nikomaris, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk about this again. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.